Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Our speaker this morning is Reverend Kevin Hawkins. He is a THM graduate of 2003, and he, 5.5 years ago, founded the Anointed Fellowship Bible Church in Lancaster, Texas. And he continues there as pastor and also serves on our staff part-time as African-American Alumni and Placement Coordinator for here at DTS. He's married to Erica. They have 3 children, Justin, Kevin, and Joshua. And it's been my privilege to be at the First Baptist Church of Lancaster that has hosted this new church plant and be praying as God expands their ministry, allows them to purchase their own property and to plant this church on its own location in the future. But Kevin, we love you. Thank you for your ministry among us as well as in Lancaster. Would you join me in welcoming Kevin Hawkins to our platform?
It certainly is good to be back here to speak, and I do want to just take the time out to say thank you for those who called me and recommended me, and just for the privilege to be able to serve here on the campus of Dallas Seminary. It is still good to see that the audience is pretty crowded, too. I'm just so privileged that I'm able to stand here before you and be able to share the word of God. But if we can, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Lord in heaven, we come before you this morning thanking you for all you've done. Lord, I come before you right now just praying that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. May the body of believers that have gathered here today receive it with the spiritual nourishment that it is intended to be and receive it with thanksgiving. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus that I pray, and all of God's people said. I read about a pastor who tells a story of one Sunday morning during one of his services of the church. He received a report of a good friend of his. And the report was that his good friend had left his wife and their 6 children and moved into an apartment with one of his neighbor's wives. Now, this was a well-known Christian and former missionary, and now he had become a successful businessman. So this pastor could not believe his ears. So he decided to pay his friend a visit after service. And upon getting to this guy's house, he found the story to be true. And so the very next day, he went to this guy's job. And as he went to his job, the guy met him out and said, "Hey, I don't want to talk to you." And the pastor says, "I'm not leaving until you do." And the guy continues to say, "I'm not going to talk to you," and then threatens to put a serious hurting on him. And the guy says, "That's what it's going to have to take, because I am not going to leave you, because I love you too much to see you ruin your life this way." And so after a while of talking, they finally went to lunch together, and the pastor convinced his friend to go to marriage counseling. So 6 weeks later, at church, in comes this pastor's friend along with his wife and their 6 kids. And they go on to have a happy 7 years of marriage until God calls the wife on home because she had died of cancer. But the friend one day told this pastor, he said, "Hey, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not kicking me while I was down. Thank you for not leaving me stranded when I had fallen in sin." I bet we can all relate to this man one way or another. Not in the area of adultery, but we can all relate in some area of that we have all fallen and we need someone to help us get up. Amen? We as brothers and sisters are supposed to be there for one another when it is time to, when someone has fallen. We are to be there for one another when it is time to help give them a helping hand so they can stand up. Too often what I've seen in the church is people want to kick one another when they're down, instead of being the brothers and sisters who carry one another and say, as I used to say growing up, as we would say when I grew up in Oak Cliff, and we would say, if anyone needed some trouble, I got your back. Too often we would see the opposite thing, but Paul tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 6 that we are to carry one another. We are to carry our brothers and sisters when they are shackled by the burdens of this life that are offered in this life, and shackled by the burdens of sin as well. So today I want to talk to you about carrying one another. My text is coming from Galatians chapter 6, and I'm starting at verses 1. But first of all, I want you to know, saints, that you have to be spiritual enough to restore those who have fallen. Notice what the text says. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Like that brother that the pastor went to restore, Paul points out that as Christians, we too can be caught up in sin. As a matter of fact, the way it's written in the Greek text, it is written in a sense that anyone, it is possible for anyone to all of a sudden be caught in the midst of sin. Sin has a subtle way of sneaking up on you and trapping you in its snare from time to time. And so when that happens, when we see a brother or a sister who has fallen, this is a job for those who are spiritual. We have a responsibility. Now, this is not a job for those who are inexperienced or those who are immature saints, because I want you to know something, that just because a person has been saved for 20 years does not make them mature. Longevity does not equal to spirituality. Longevity does not equal to maturity. This is a job for those who are mature enough to go to those who have fallen and seek their restoration. Now, I'm not saying we don't practice church discipline either, because discipline is also done so that we can bring about restoration. But we have a responsibility to those who have fallen to go before them and seek their restoration to the body of Christ, instead of what we've seen the opposite of too often, kicking them when they're down. It sometimes might hurt to bring about this restoration, but it is done for their own good. Not everyone likes to, I don't know anyone that likes to be confronted with the truth when they're doing something wrong, but they still need to be confronted so that they can be restored to the body. Because after all, those who have fallen are out of line with God's will. Several years ago, I was diagnosed as having an astigmatism. And for those of you who don't know what an astigmatism is, it is when your eyesight is not clearly or seeing things clearly and they're out of focus. So the doctor, he set me down in this contraption and told me to look through this glass thing or whatever it was and said, let him know when the letters came together and they were in focus for me. And so as he sat down, they started out of focus. But all of a sudden, as he started doing whatever it is he had to do, all of a sudden, I just started seeing things more clearly. Things began to be aligned and they came into a sharp focus for me. That's what happens when we bring a person back into restoration. We're bringing them back into alignment and into focus spiritually with God. So we are to be there to be their brothers and sisters in Christ and bring about their restoration so they can be back in God's will. So you who are spiritual, go to this brother or sister who has fallen and bring about their restoration. And there's also a way we need to do this as well. We cannot do this with spiritual superiority. We have to do this, as the text says, with gentle humility. Very often, have you ever seen people who just think that they're just so much better than everybody else? We've perhaps all have known someone like this, but what they don't realize is that their stuff stinks just as much as yours. Amen? Their stuff stinks just as much as yours. And let me tell you something, everybody's stuff stinks. It's just a matter of if we're going to let it out or not. And so what we have to understand is that as Christians, we should carry one another. Look at verses 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. He's pointing out that we have responsibility to one another. That's because the church is an organism of born-again brothers and sisters who have been supernaturally fit together. And we are bound together in a mutual fellowship, in a mutual love and edification of one another. Therefore, Paul admonishes us. He says, bear one another's burdens. We have a responsibility to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ to go to each other and help carry the heavy loads that we face from time to time. If you do any weightlifting, you when you go out and do some weightlifting, you would want some guys on your sides. You call them spotters, because when you're lifting those weights and as they get too heavy for you, you want to have some good spotters, because they will start picking that weight up off of you and make sure it comes back to a resting place. That's what we have to do for one another. From time to time, when we're all going to have some burdens that we have to carry from time to time on our own, but we're going to want those brothers and sisters to come alongside of us and be our spiritual spotters to help carry this weight that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we, in turn, have to do the same thing when we see others who have fallen as well, and we see others who are carrying burdens. I, having been in ministry for nearly 6 years, or a pastorate, that is, for nearly 6 years, and ministry for 10, I have said to people in our church and people that I've come into ministry with that there are going to be some saints, it seems as though we have to carry them all the way across the kingdom threshold. And that's okay. That's a part of ministry. We are here to do that, saints. We have a responsibility to one another. So it's good for you to help carry your brother's loads. And doing so, notice what the text says. You fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill the law of Christ when we show that we have a responsibility to one another. It's like a large millstone that is weighed upon their neck. And then when you take it off, all of a sudden they can stand up straight again. That's what we do when we are carrying one another's burdens. We have the responsibility. We should look at that. And we should all understand, too, that we should have a good look at ourselves and examine ourselves properly. And when we examine ourselves properly, we will all understand that we've all been the objects of God's grace. You see, not everyone came out the womb Christians. Amen. Now, some of you may have, but I surely didn't. And I can recognize the fact that God had to dig deep to save some of us, didn't he? Because we were all trapped in the midst of sin, and we all needed to be rescued by a God who can only do what he could do. And so we have to recognize that we've all been saved by God's grace, and therefore we have to look at ourselves carefully, and we have to look at others when we're not looking at others in a spiritual superiority when we are doing the restoring job, in the restoring process. Look, we have to look at ourselves from a biblical perspective. Look at verses 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4 goes on to say, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. From a biblical perspective, Paul tells us to examine ourselves. Don't think that we never have to be corrected ourselves. Don't think that we have figured it out. We haven't. I've been in ministry since I was 26, in pulpit ministry, that is. And I've been in pulpit ministry since I was 26 years old, 10 years. I'm 36 today. 10 years of having some ministry experience, and I still don't have all the answers. Because if I did, we'd certainly be a lot further along than we are as a church right now. There are some things that I've gone through as a pastor, and I said, boy, those are some mistakes that I've made. And perhaps, saints, some of you have had this attitude of, yeah, I'm here at Dallas Seminary and I have it all, but we don't. The old saying of, you can tell a Dallas man, you just can't tell him very much. It does apply sometimes when we walk out of here. Amen? But we haven't figured it all out. Don't think that we are self-sufficient and no longer need the Holy Spirit to guide us, because we do. That is why Paul says that we are to look at ourselves, because if we think that we're something when we're nothing, we are deceiving ourselves. We're not taking a true evaluation of ourselves. What you have to do is look at yourself in light of the text and in light of God's standard, and then you'll recognize how fallen we really are. You will start recognizing how sinful we really are, saints. You will start recognizing that we have a long ways to go. I have not completely arrived to where God wants me to be. Now, thank God that I'm not where I used to be, but I also look forward to the future that he has in store for me. We have to be able to look at ourselves in light of the text and recognize that we have still some tacky clothes on. We have to recognize, he says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to others. When we look at ourselves in light of the text, we will see that anything that we have accomplished only by God's grace. Anything, saints, that we have accomplished only because God has blessed us to be able to do so. We don't have time for the petty jealousies that happen in church. I've seen them. We don't have time for the petty jealousies. I don't have time to be worried about what another brother or sister in Christ is doing, because if I see God blessing them, I should be happy for them, not jealous behind it. Amen? And so one of the things we have to do is we have to examine ourselves. And then once we have a true look at ourselves, we'll have a reason for boasting in God and the things that God has done, and not in the things that we have done. We have a reason for boasting, as the text says here. Look at verse 5. For each one will bear his own load at the end of it. So as we start looking at the text, we'll start seeing that God, saints, is the one who brings us to where we are. It is God who blesses us. We have a responsibility for carrying one another's burdens. Let us do that. Let us not become jealous-hearted of what God does in others' lives. Let us remember, though, when they fall, we have a responsibility of picking them up. Let us remember that when they fall, we should be there to help carry their burdens, not kick them when they're down. Because just as they have fallen, we too can be in that same situation. And so we are going to want someone to come alongside of us, aren't we? I remember when our church went through one of the most trying times that I had ever seen before. People had seen me upset. That was not an issue. I've grown up around people who had seen me upset, but no one had ever seen me hurt. Growing up where I grew up, right here in Dallas in Oak Cliff, having gone to Carter High School, we were told to be tough. How many of y'all saw the movie Friday Night Lights? That was my high school football team. I played on that team. We were told to be tough. The team from Carter, not the team that lost. Amen. I just want to make sure you understand that. But we were told to be tough. No one had ever seen me hurt before. And all of a sudden now, here it is, I'm hurting. And if it weren't for some pastors that had gone through some struggles earlier in their ministries, I don't know if I would have recovered. But some brothers came alongside of me and helped carry my burdens, not because I had sin, but because I was still down. And I had some burdens that I just couldn't get off my shoulders. All of a sudden, my prayer life had intensified, and I took a great deal of comfort in the friends that I had established over the years who came alongside of me and helped carry me throughout that process. And I'm here today to tell you that I'm a better pastor for having gone through that. I'm here today to tell you that our church is in a better situation for having gone through that. But it was because of the fact that others came alongside and helped carry my burdens. You're going to need that your days here at seminary. You're going to need that your days here at seminary for others to come alongside and help carry your burdens. And then, finally, saints, I want you to always have a true picture of who you really are in Christ. You're not super saints. We all need each other. We have a dependency upon the body. So remember that as well. I hope and trust that I've said something today that has been a blessing to you, and I pray that you're able to carry this with you. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Lord in heaven, we come before you right now just thanking you for all you've done. Lord, I just come before you right now just praying that we all remember that we are to bear one another's burdens and help carry the load. Carry and pick one another up when we've fallen, and carry each other's burdens when they're just too heavy for us to carry alone. And Father, I just also pray that we also take a true look at ourselves. And then any accomplishments that comes out of our ministries, we can give you the glory of it. Father, just come before you right now, just praying that as we all travel back to our classes and to our jobs and to our separate destinations, you just be with us and guide us. Remove us from this place, but never from your presence. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus that I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.